Hi, and welcome to Only the Avatar.
And Avatar the Last Airbender rewatch podcast. I'm Veda.
And I'm Christina, and you're listening to Sozin's Comet, part one and two, our second to last episode, guys.
An ultimate episode. I'm already getting emotional. I texted Christina, well, you know this, but to the audience, I did text Christina while watching it this morning because I was crying. Like, am I okay?
No,
I actually cried.
I cry every time I watch the series finale. Every single time. Doesn't matter. I watch it like 20 times. I still cry because I'm a Cancer and I cry, but it's just so good.
And you're exactly right. It's just cinematic. Like these – it's an hour and 20 minutes, right? The whole thing. We're doing the first half. And it is cinematic. Like, you get chills, the storytelling, the animation. Oh, my gosh. This finale is so good.
Yeah. And, like, the music that leads up to everything. The fact that Iroh's always talking about his destiny. Like, everyone's destinies. Like, it's just – it's hyping it up for, like, the actual ending. It's so good.
It's so powerful.
Before we get into the episode, though, Veda, how have you been? I know we've had the weirdest kind of schedule lately. We've both been very busy.
I was sick, not COVID, but last week I was super sick. And I had strep throat, and it takes 4 days to find out if you have it once you get tested. So, yeah, I was just in bed. I was really ill. I could barely walk. I was not doing anything. I was just laying in bed. I actually read two books and watched a TV show. I watched Bored to Death. So I was like trying to entertain myself and like fight away the general depression. But oh my God, health is so important. And of course, like in this day and age, the minute you get a little sick, you automatically think you have COVID, right? Especially if you're like that tired. And so I went to go get tested for COVID. Thank God it was negative. And then they tested me for strep too, because I was like, my main symptom was that I couldn't swallow. And then they were like, yeah. Anyway, so that's why we were off last week, because I was just basically not even a human. But then antibiotics, that shit works. Wow, modern medicine.
Science works. Wow, who would have guessed?
So I took one of those. Like, even after my first dose, I was like up and like out and about. And it's just so weird for adults to get strep. It's just very uncommon. But people at my office have been getting it too. So and we haven't been in the office, so I don't know what it is, but I think there's something going around.
I mean, there's this thing called COVID-19 going around too, but this one at least has antibiotics. You can get over it really quickly.
Yeah, it's just so quick and you're good and you're just like, wow. And then, yeah, so then I was mostly resting this week. You know, I saw some friends and like people came by and like dropped stuff off because I live alone and I was like not doing well. So
well, I'm happy you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm feeling better. And I ran a 5K yesterday, my first race in a long time. And it kind of felt weird because like obviously COVID, the last race I did was a turkey trot with our friend Katrinka and my sister in 2019. So it was just fun. Like a bunch of my friends in the neighborhood, we all ran it together. And then my other friend, Emily, came to visit from Baltimore and also did the race. And yeah, it was really fun. And then, you know, we hung out around town after that. So it was a good weekend and like the weather's been perfect. So I don't know, things have been good. And now that I'm feeling better, I feel like all my gray clouds are gone. Oh, I do have one thing though.
Ooh, what?
I did watch this movie and I know I texted you about it. But Christina, like, I am moved. I am beyond moved. I can't stop thinking about this movie. Like, it's called The Way We Were. It's with Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand. It's very old and it's, like, famous. Like, it won an Oscar, blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, referenced in Gilmore Girls, Sex and the City. I feel like so many things reference this movie and I just had never seen it. And I watched it and I knew the ending because I've seen Gilmore Girls and Sex and the City, but I did not realize what this movie was about. Mm-hmm. Like it covers like right after World War II, it covers McCarthyism, but basically it's about like choosing your value systems and being in a relationship with someone you love, but they might not have the same values or like believe that you can change how society is. Like it's a very political movie and like the main character is this very outspoken Jewish communist woman and then she's married to this like waspy guy who, you know, cares about things but is not as like outspoken and like willing to do things as her, and she's always willing to stand up for what's right while he is like, what's the point? do you know what I mean? Things will never change. So mm-hmm. why do you put yourself in these positions where you have to stand up for what's right? And it's about their on again, off again relationship through the years. And it covers a lot of like different phases in American politics. And it is devastating. It is absolutely devastating. Thank God I knew the ending. Otherwise, I feel like I would have – I'm already an emotional wreck from this movie and from Avatar.
Yeah.
But if I didn't know the ending, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going on a rant about this, but everybody needs to watch this movie. Hot people, great storyline, amazing theme song. Like, Barbara Babs can sing. Like, she's got a set of pipes. Duh. So anyway, everybody please watch this movie if you're a youth listening to this and had never seen it, or if you're just like from two cultures and sometimes have just missed like classic American things sometimes. Please watch this movie. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned, oh, I had to know what the ending was for it to not wreck me. I do that all the time. I look up, like, when I'm watching something really, like, anxious, like, because, like, especially after COVID-19, I'm like, I don't do anxious movies. I don't do thrillers as much as I used to. Like, I need to look everything up. I need to know what's going
anxiety,
to happen.
Anxiety, yes. Anxiety.
So I look up, like, everything. Like, I watched the show The Last Kingdom. I was, like, obsessed with it. It's, like, a show... like Vikings, kind of. Mm-hmm. It talks about Vikings and English. And I was like, I need to look up every single thing that happens because I'm getting too anxious about it. Like, what is wrong with me?
Why are we like this?
One time I forgot what scary movie it was and I was freaking out. I literally got on my phone in the movie theater and I was like, Christine, I need to look up how this ends because I'm freaking out. I like had my purse and I like looked at my purse and was like, I can't deal with this. I'm going to look like a loser. I'm freaking out so much. I just need to know what happens because I can't deal.
Oh my God. That's so funny. So that's why I think some people can't be in a theater because you can't, like, it's hard to whip out your phone and like see an ending.
Well, I did it secretly. No one was seeing it. It was, you know, I was covered, but rather that than me go crazy in the movie theater. It's just not for me. Like, I'll watch a comedy in a movie theater, but not these like scary thriller movies.
This
like,
was not a thriller or scary, but it's more emotional. Do you know what I mean? It's like, will they end up together? Will they not end up together? Like, what is going to happen? And then it just hits. I mean, that song, like that The Way We Were song, it gets you. Like, you start thinking about all your past, your relationships, different people in your life. Like, this song is a powerful thing. I don't know. Anyway, please watch this movie. If you're in a mood, maybe it's a rainy day and you want to be cocooned in a blanket with a hot beverage or a glass of wine and you just kind of want to cry. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're like,
good cry movie.
You're like, I just want to kind of cry and like sit in some emotions for a while. Mm-hmm. Then put this movie on.
Well, where can you stream it?
I rented it on like YouTube. But okay. I think you can probably – I don't know if it's available for free streaming.
Gotcha.
But it's very good.
Well, I was watching – what was I watching? I was watching Manifest. I'm like 3 weeks too late, but me
– I didn't watch it.
Me and Joey – it's bad, but it's good at the same time. It's exactly what I need at this moment. I'm not at a point yet that I'm looking up what's happening, what happens, because like I'm on season one. But like I might get there at one point. And then – I just started Sex Education season 3. Love that show.
Oh my God, I'm going to watch tonight. It's such so a good show.
And I'm like, so it's like my comfort show. Like, I just love it so much.
Me too. I forgot it comes out this weekend.
Yeah, it came out on Friday.
I'm going to watch it tonight after we're done recording while I eat dinner.
I know, but it was so awkward for me though, because I was like starting to watch it and I live in a very like family friendly neighborhood. Like, my street, there's so many kids, they're always out. It's really nice, but we don't have blinds right now in our living room, and so my window is just exposed, and the first scene is like a montage of everyone having sex.
Oh my god.
All the kids are having sex. I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch this right now. Like, they're going to think I'm like a creep watching porn like in front of my house. And I'm like, I can't watch it.
So on
I
the TV.
So I watched part of it on my like somewhere else. Then I watched it in the main room. But I was like, oh my God, I can't wait till we get blinds.
Oh my God. You got to get those window treatments done.
I know. I think we're getting our blinds like on Wednesday. So that'll be good.
Exciting. How's all the painting and stuff going?
We got one room done, but Joey's friends want to come over in 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, we have a deadline. We need to – we're painting, but we also need to, like, unpack. I don't know. Moving is hard. It's a lot of work.
Second to death.
Yep.
Should we jump in to the summary?
Let's do it. So Zuko reveals the Fire Lord's plans to the gang, right? Like, the gang was just, like, chilling. They're having a good time. They're building sandcastles. And Zuko is like, what are you doing? You need a train. And even attacks Aang. And the gang is like, why are you going crazy right now? And Zuko's like, dude, Sosa's Comet's coming in 3 days. And Aang, Sokka, Katara, and Toph are like, oh, we're just going to wait. No worries. But Zuko actually reveals that the Fire Lord is actually planning to destroy the entire Earth Kingdom with another genocide using the power of Sosa's Comet. And the rest of the gang is completely shocked. They thought that they had so much more time. They didn't realize that the threat was like super imminent. They just figured that they'd take their time, build up the skills, and defeat the Fire Lord when he can, but they don't have that anymore. Aang doesn't feel prepared, but, you know, in 3 days' time, he'll need to defeat the Fire Lord or the world will end, basically.
It's actually so crazy. Like, Fire Lord, like, we knew he was bad, mm-hmm. but Ozai is, like, super villain bad. And
he's just, like, a caricature of a villain, kind of, I think. But I think that's okay in this, like, child show. You know what I mean?
I mean, it does make sense. Like, if his family, like, Sozin did the first genocide mm-hmm. during the first Sozin's Comet of the Air Nation, you know, like, mm-hmm. that was that. And then now, you know, like, they want to continue that family tradition, I guess, of completely decimating a people. But this is very stressful. Like, they thought they had more time, and like, Aang is like, I don't know what to do. But mostly, and this is a conversation that's continued from the previous episode, Aang is just like, this is so hard for him. Does he have to actually kill Fire Lord Ozai to end this war? Like, mm-hmm. He's like, killing and violence is against my values, and he doesn't know what to do, and he feels like no one really understands, because everyone's like, of course you have to kill him. But he's like, this mm-hmm. is against who I am. So he decides to meditate, figure out what to do, and then during his meditation he falls asleep, and then he kind of ends up sleepwalking and just leaving Ember Island and walking through the water, and he disappears, and Momo mm-hmm. follows him. He ends up waking up in this mysterious location. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know where he is. He's like, am I in the spirit world? Am I not? What's going on? But he decides that, okay, like, I have all the wisdom inside me, because I have the past avatars inside me. Let me take this time while I'm on this mysterious location to ask for wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of the gang are really worried because he can't find Aang. They're like, okay, he's probably in the spirit world somewhere, but where's his physical body, right? They couldn't find it. So Zuko actually takes charge, and he's the one who takes the initiative to say, hey, you know what? Let's figure out how we can find Aang. Let's go to his old friend June. I like that we have throwbacks to old characters mm-hmm. that we've seen before, because June was from the episode where she's able to find anyone using their smell, right? Because her animal is able to smell the person and find them. So they go to June. They give her the staff of Aang's, right? And she says, he doesn't exist anymore. He's not dead, but he can't be found. And it's kind of stressing, like, everyone out, because they need to find Aang before the comet hits, right? They don't know, like, if he doesn't come back, the world will end as they know it, right? So instead of trying to find Aang, they're like, you know what, let's find Iroh instead. If anyone could defeat Fire Lord Ozai, it's Uncle Iroh. So Zuko takes out his Uncle Iroh's smelly slipper, and you know, they find their way to Iroh and actually, like, the Great Order of the White Lotus, which is really exciting.
Yeah, so we find all their old friends again, lots of old faces, old teachers, and all these older people are joking that, hey, of course we all know each other, but they are actually part of this order, and they're trying to, you know, step in, help the Avatar, and, like, stop Fire Lord Ozai. And Zuko's happy to see everyone, but he's also worried, you know. He's felt, we've seen this from when he was in the show, when he saw the play as well, like, he feels so guilty, like, mm-hmm. will Iroh accept him? And this is the moment where I cried, seeing Zuko cry and be emotional and apologize to mm-hmm. Iroh, and then Iroh just openly forgiving him and giving him, like, this big hug, and they have this beautiful moment of reconnection, and the whole gang is together with the order, and Iroh reminds all of them that destiny will take its course, like, mm-hmm. they all are going to achieve what they're fated to do and bound to do, and he believes that Aang will return and face his destiny as well. And this speech from Iroh gives them all renewed hope, and mm-hmm. they decide to step up into these roles and go on their separate quests. Iroh tells Zuko that he's meant to take his rightful position at the throne, and Zuko's role is to bring back honor to the Fire Nation, and Katara goes and helps him to defeat Azula and really take back his role at the throne, and then Sokka, Toph, and Suki decide to go help Aang prepare for battle. You know, no matter if he shows up, when he shows up, they're going to be ready to help him fight.
To take out the airships, as they call it.
And Iroh is meant, you know, his role with the White Lotus is meant to take back Ba Sing Se from the Fire Nation. Like, he realizes he had a childhood dream, and he's meant to fulfill it in a way that he had that premonition, and now he understands what that premonition is.
That was wild. I was listening to him talk about that. It's like, I always knew that I would win a battle in Ba Sing Se. I just didn't realize which war it would be, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. And it's just that deep wisdom, and also that deep, like, faith that goodness will prevail, right? Like, that's what he's coming up to. And I think it's just nice to hear that they're so confused. They feel uncertain. Like, all the characters are feeling so uncertain right now with Sozin's Comet coming this way, the threat of genocide. Like, a lot of is going on, and just hearing someone just with faith, like, goodness will prevail. You know, and you are the agents of goodness. Like, that is very powerful.
I know. And, like, Iroh's speech in general was so cinematic. Like, him talking about, like, you need to know your destiny, and your destiny will, like, it'll come to you, and good will prevail. And the music behind it, it was like, oh, I'm watching a
powerful movie.
So powerful. Yeah, but going back to Aang discovers that where he is meditating is actually on the back of a lion turtle. He is very excited about. He's like, I got to see this guy's face. And he swims, and then he sees the eyes of the lion turtle and freaks out. I'm like, dude, like, you wanted to see this guy's face. And, you know, they're moving towards the land. And at one point, Aang is asking the lion turtle, like, hey, I've asked everyone for advice. I've asked all my past lives for advice. I need your wisdom as well, because I don't think I could really kill the Fire Lord. What should I do? And the turtle says, word for word, the true mind can weather all the lies and illusions without being lost. The true heart can tough the poison of hatred without being harmed. Since the beginning of time, darkness thrives in the void, but always yields to purifying light. And, you know, Aang is very comforted by this message. And then the lion turtle does something to Aang, and we don't exactly know what that means at this point, but by the end of the series, we'll know what the lion turtle has done to Aang.
It's that purifying light.
Yeah, and Aang has the strength to know what he needs to do and to face the Fire Lord, so in the next part, we'll see the actual battle.
Wow, what a great episode. So much set up here, and I don't know, it's just like, I think Aang's challenge, right, of like him, no one else like getting it, everyone including the past avatars are all like, just kill him, like you have to do it. But I think this is part of what makes, and I kind of also am like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, just kill him, but this is part of what makes Aang a very special character and shows his innocence and his also like his value system. Out of all of the avatars' advice, like, because we actually go back four avatars, right? We hear hear the whole cycle he reaches to them. And did you have one piece of advice that like stood out for you, or a story that you found interesting?
You know, I liked all of them. Kyoshi, they all have their it's like apples and oranges and peaches, right? Like Kyoshi, I loved her advice where she's just like, there is no peace without justice, right? So like the justice is to kill the Fire Lord. And I just love how she's like, yeah, I did kill that guy in my life. Like, I actually killed him. Like, Aang's like, you didn't really kill him. He goes, no, I'm owning it. I killed him. It's fine. I love that. And then Kurik, like, I'll say the worst one was definitely Kurik. He's just like, yeah, and times are good during my reign as the Avatar. Like, it was all chill. And I'm like, this is like definitely the worst Avatar.
Oh my God. He seems like, I did like his advice though. I think it's actually important for people to connect with, of like, you create your own life. You create your own life. You
can't go with the flow, right?
Like, yeah, your choices, take active choices, make decisions, take an active, be an active participant in your life. I think that's like actually a really good piece of advice, even though Kurik seems like kind of an avatar, but as a piece of advice, I think that's relevant to all of us, right? Like, if you don't like something, try to change it. Try, you know, be an active participant in your life. I thought that's a great piece of advice. But I really liked Yang Chen as well.
Me too. That was, I think that was my favorite. Like, I know that wasn't the advice that like the Avatar didn't want to hear, because he went all the way back to hear an actual airbender's advice, like probably the same way, like vegetarian, like never take a life. But she's like, this thing is bigger than you. You need to think beyond yourself and think about the world if you want to actually save the world. And I like that they gave that like wisdom of like, oh, a lot of air nomads need to detach to like really be true air nomads. She's like, you can't do that. You're the Avatar, dude.
Yeah, I really loved her. I loved her advice. And I think that's also like anyone who's like exploring spirituality and things like that and like questioning those things or like, how do I be a good person? I thought that was really interesting of her thing. It's like, you have to make that sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Like you have to sacrifice your own like spiritual journey, your own enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Because your selfless duty is to protect the world. Like, that's just such a powerful message and a really good definition of what is the Avatar supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because, again, each of these Avatars that he talks to, you can kind of see that they all come to their own crisis at different points, right? Like, Roku, his own crisis was like, do I harm my ex-best friend? Like, what is the limits of forgiveness? Like, he kind of goes through that journey. And
you can tell, like, even in the spirit world, he's like, man, I really messed that up. I really should have just killed him.
Like, oh. He did. Honestly, he totally.
Yeah.
I totally think he should have killed. Don't you?
Yeah, I think he thinks he should have killed him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because obviously, look what happened. Like, look how much destruction that one choice caused.
Yeah.
Wow, but talk about regret.
I know, that's the biggest regret, but. You know, there's a lot of like fanfare of like who was the worst Avatar, and a lot of people think it's actually Roku because of the war.
Yeah,
a lot of people think it's Kurik because like he's just a chill bro and he lasted like 33 years in the Avatar or something like that. But I think it's probably like Roku.
I think it's Roku too. Poor guy. He did his best, but like, bro, what were you doing?
I mean, as Kurik says, times were great during my reign.
But I mean, also, like, maybe there weren't problems. Like, Kurik's problems were more personal. Like, it was about love, right? Like,
we see the love of his life's face in the episode with
the face eater.
Like, the first
thing.
Time we see Roku. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that episode, but yeah, we see like the continue. That's something I also want to talk about, too. It's just like, I love that they're bringing back all these older characters, like the White Lotus Society, like all of our old characters, like Bumi, Paku, seeing June again. Like, and I loved how like the writers were just calling out like fan theories. Like, Toph was doing it the most. She was like, I knew there was something between you and Haru. Like, how random is that? But like, I love that they just threw that in there.
I died at that scene. Toph was actually the comic relief in this episode.
She was. She literally says, I never got a spiritual hangout with Zuko, so I'm going with him to find Aang. I like love that she called it out.
I love that. And her grabbing his arm is so cute. I felt bad for her because she's like bearing her soul. And then
she
Zuko's
doesn't
like,
do that a lot either.
I know.
Right?
I know, it's very unlike her. And then Zuko being like, sorry you had a tough childhood, but we got to find Aang. Like, okay, also Zuko in this leadership role, like,
good for him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Zutara fodder in this episode.
I know, like June saying, oh, your girlfriend's back. She's like, I'm not his girlfriend. I love that. But I love these old characters and the writers are just having fun. It's like they're sucking out, like it's the last episode, right? Where they kind of do what they want. But what did you think about, you know, seeing all those older characters and, you know, the whole scene with Iroh and the White Lotus Society? What did you think of that?
I loved it. Like, for a second, you know, when you see them, their campground is like surrounded by flames, you get worried, but then you see all of them. And it is, I think it's like, it brings back hope, right? Mm-hmm. Like, seeing all these people who are continuing to fight the fight, continuing to fight the good fight over these 100 years, and they're all doing it. And again, it ties back to Zuko's conversation on that fated day when he was finally invited to his dad's war meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And then they turned to him and Ozai was like, you spent a lot of time in the Earth Kingdom. What do you think will quell all these rebellions? And Zuko answers honestly and he's like, we need to, like, they're filled with hope and strength and they believe in themselves. Is there a way that, you know, we can squash that belief? Like, that's the most important thing. And like, he's like, the Earth people are strong and proud and they can endure anything if they have hope. And Ozai is like, oh, great. Like, Ozai and Azula are like, great, let's just commit a genocide. when
like, oh my gosh, like that was such a, oh, I hate that.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting. But seeing the White Lotus, I was like, oh, that's actually like, even for these people who are, even for the gang who basically like lost Aang, mm-hmm. and now they see all these people. I think it was a moment of hope for them. And it's also a moment of hope for, like, the audience knows Aang is alive. So for us, yeah. it's like different, but they see it and they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. But I was also dying when Bumi's like, oh, it seems like an important member of your group is in here.
There's a lot of funny moments with that.
And you're like, oh my God.
I love that Toph was just like, are we surrounded by old people? Oh, and this is such a funny part of it too, because also like Katara was like, grandpa, you're my step grandpa or whatever. And mm-hmm. like Sokka was like, Poppy Paku or whatever he said. He's like, you could just call me like my name. Like, it's clear he has a favorite grandchild.
Of course he does. The one who takes after, you know, his wife.
Yeah, I mean, is he a little like elitist and like, I think my waterbending grandchild more than my non-waterbending grandchild, but whatever, we'll give him a pass on this one.
I loved seeing all of them together, and I loved, honestly, like seeing everybody prepared to fight, seeing Zuko also just like, there's a lot of moments in both of these episodes. For me, it was kind of, I guess it's not surprising, but seeing Zuko take that leadership role mm-hmm. and deciding like, okay, we got to go find Aang. And him also being like, what are you all doing? Like, we need to do the Sozin thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It was just very interesting. And then all of them like being so affectionate with him and giving him a hug. And he was, and it's so different because he was chasing Aang before and he doesn't know these people, but the acceptance around him and Iroh. Yeah. And it's just, it was very, I think that's kind of what made me emotional.
Yeah, like he's come like full circle. And even when they are all hugging and Katara is like, hey, you have to get in on the hug too, even though he was mm-hmm. kind of yelling at everyone. And I was actually surprised that Katara was the one to say that, because I remember when Zuko first joined the group and Katara was like, if you touch him, you are dead beat. You know what I mean? And Zuko literally attacks Aang and attacks the group.
I know.
And I was surprised. She was like, it's fine. She would literally goes, you could have hurt Aang. Like, remember the first time you saw him in the group and you're like, I will kill you if you touch him. They've come a long way, the two of them.
They've come a long way. Speaking of like Fire Nation people freaking out, what did you think of Azula's meltdown? Because you can definitely see she's getting unhinged.
Yeah, I think this is when we really know that she's getting unhinged too, because we didn't see her in the last episode and the episode prior to that. Oh, we knew she was unhinged the last time we saw her, because she was like, I'm going to be an only child. So you're just seeing that she's so insecure about her place in the world, right? Like the fact that she was like, I'm not Zuko. You can't tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. You can't like leave me on the sidelines. Like, she's just so insecure because she has no real support system. Like, and you could tell even by the way she was talking at the council meeting, she just wanted to kiss her like dad's ass. She was just like a suck up. Like, she'll do anything to get his approval. And I guess the fact that he wanted her in the homeland made her really insecure. Even though, I think, fun fact, it's kind of tradition that the next person in line stays in the homeland. Like in medieval times and things like that.
It kind of makes sense because you have to protect them.
Yeah.
You know, like if you kill off the line, you know.
Who's going to rule?
Who's going to do it? So it kind of makes sense that, I don't know. Like, you can really see that she doesn't seem well. Like, she does not seem well. Something's off. And I know what happens, obviously, but I'm like nervous about Zuko and Azula kind of coming to battle. But mm-hmm. Zuko seems so much more secure. Like, he knows his place. He knows his destiny. He knows himself. He finally gets rid of that guilt of leaving Iroh, you know? Like, he's coming in as such a stronger person. Oh, another moment that I really enjoyed in this episode was Zuko teaching Aang how to redirect lightning.
Yeah, it was like the student has become the teacher, the master, mm-hmm. you know? And I love that, like, he was saying, have you ever actually, like, redirected lightning? And he goes, yeah, once with my father. I was like, yeah, you did. Good job.
Also, that Freudian slip in the episode when he's like, Father Lord.
Father Lord. That was so funny. And Toph, again, she's the one. You said Father Lord, not Fire Lord. She's, like, calling everyone out. I feel like that's true. I feel like the last couple episodes, we haven't had a deep dive into Toph. Like, her character is really underwritten the last half of the season, I feel.
It's so odd because she was given a lot of time earlier in the seasons, or mm-hmm. like when she was first introduced, we got a lot of backstory. We knew. So it's like we knew so much about her, but then we haven't really gotten to see her blossom and change. And then also I was like, where are all their other friends who were staying with them?
No, remember during the episode where Azula goes crazy and is like, I'm going to be an only child. The way that the air temple was, like, they kind of blocked them off. So they had to go through the tunnel.
Oh, true, 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 true.
And that's what happened. That was an easy way to write them out. I was like, why did you include them in the first place then?
I know, because I was just like, okay. And I was like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, Suki's such a, I get you know, it.
I mean.
I like her, but I'm sometimes like, I wish she was taking a little bit more, like, they have a lot of characters right now. Mm-hmm. I think, and even for me, like, it was just weird to see Sokka just give the leadership role to Zuko, even because he's always been the second in command, I guess. And yeah, like, just interesting. I mean, I get it, like, they all respect his expertise, and like, they said it like, you're the expert at trailing Aang, so if you're gonna find that, him that you're gonna find him.
That is true. Yeah, it's interesting. I think this episode is obviously more plot-driven than it is character-driven. Mm-hmm. At least, I feel like they've really developed Zuko's character a lot in this episode, but for all the other, and Aang, obviously, but for all the other characters, like, yeah, we don't know a lot of Suki's backstory, and it's just hard to do it with these secondary characters, right?
I know. Where
it just kind of stinks in that sense, but...
It does. Yeah. I mean, overall, it's like, it is a very good episode. It's just like... I think, again, we want a little bit more. And then now on a rewatch, you start to see, like, what happened? And
yeah, it's not just this episode, right? It's the last couple of episodes. We haven't really seen Toph, or we never really saw much of Suki, too. So it's just, yeah, I wish they didn't do that field trip episode so we could, like, bring
too,
it back.
Me too, me too. But going back to, like, Zuko and Aang, like, I love – the one thing that is written really well is, like, their mirroring is back, mm-hmm. right? Like, Zuko and – that's such a huge part of the series of them, like, their yin and yang, their balancing act. And, like, Zuko says in this episode, like, I lost myself trying to find myself, like, trying to get my honor, and I lost myself, and now I've found myself. And then Aang is feeling very lost, and even Roku, when he comes out, is like, you seem lost. And, mm-hmm. like, he can't express it to his friends and to even anyone that he doesn't want to lose himself. He doesn't want to lose himself coming to terms with, like, what's happening, you know?
Like, he's just trying – he's – like, I think you kind of mentioned it in that movie you were watching, like, the way we were, where you're just trying mm-hmm. to find validation in your values and other people, and no one's giving that to you, right?
Yeah.
So he's really struggling because no one agrees with him that he shouldn't kill the Fire Lord at all, and he's looking to his past lives, like, someone tell me it's okay that I don't kill him, right? And everyone's like, you got to end this war somehow, boy. And the only one that really helps him is the lion turtle. So
yeah. And the lion turtle is like that deep wisdom. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like that mirroring of like, okay, like Aang is actually lost, but he's found himself and found mm-hmm. his confidence. And like Zuko has also found himself. So it's like that yin and yang sense is balanced. And mm-hmm. I think that's a really strong – that's like the strong part of the writing in this episode of like getting back to that mirror. And again, it's like split, you know, like we haven't mm-hmm. done that in a while where we're like getting Zuko's perspective and Aang's perspective and that going back and forth. So yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, I think it's usually just Zuko by himself with Iroh, and now it's mm-hmm. Zuko and the rest of the gang and Aang by himself with Momo. So mm-hmm. I really like that. And overall, like, I think we kind of talked about it a little bit. I just love the speech. I loved Iroh's wisdom when he's with the rest of the gang, right? Where he's saying, you know, Zuko's like, you're the only one that could take my father down. Can you do it? He's like, that's not the right way to end the war. Like, everyone's just going to – the history of it is going to be – it's just a brother and a brother fighting. You know what I mean? It needs to be the Avatar. It is his destiny. And I love, like, that.
We don't want the ending of this war to just be more violence.
Yeah.
Like, what is the lesson we want to show? Like,
peace.
It's not about power. It's not about violence. It's, again, it's about restoring balance.
Restoring balance, restoring peace, restoring honor to the to the Fire Nation. A lot is going on.
Speaking of being lost, like, wow, that whole family, like, the whole Fire Nation legacy is lost. Do you know what I mean? They're lost people if they're thinking, oh, great, like, we're going to rule the world by killing everyone in the world. Like, what?
Like, no, that's, like, that line needs to end. But I loved also where Zuko's like, and you're going to take your rightful place on the throne. He's like, no, we need someone new, someone that could bring honor to the Fire Nation. It's you, Zuko. Like, I love that moment where he's like, oh, my God. Excuse me?
Who's like, and he's like, who's idealistic, who has, like, this new forward-looking vision. Like, we need to change the legacy of this family.
Yeah. It was so powerful, especially comparing that to the way that Fire Lord Ozai gave power to Azula, where he was like, oh yeah, you could take on the Fire Nation, that's fine, because I will be the King Phoenix, you know what I mean? It's so different.
It's like, all right, guy, okay,
like, it's all about you, and really it should be about the Fire Nation and restoring that balance to the world. So,
oh my God. So anyway, let's, rating wise I'm giving this a 5. Like, 5. These two episodes are a 5. Like, it's so emotional, so powerful, like, chills. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so excited for the second half. I know.
I'm, like, so excited, but I'm so sad because
I'm so sad. I can't believe, like, we've watched this. Oh, my God. It's been, you know.
I can't believe we've done this rewatch. I can't believe we're, like, actually going to finish the podcast. It's funny because some of our fans have been like, are you guys finishing it when we take a week or two off? And we're going to finish it. And we're finishing it now. It's kind of sad.
It's like, I don't know. I feel like it was honestly so great to watch during this really weird time. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's nice to see the show, like, it's coming to a satisfying ending. And I think it's been, like, we're in, like, a huge public health crisis for, like, 2 years. And now we're all like, eh. I mean, like, we're living in such a weird in-between. And sometimes, like, I'm going about my life and, like, I'll have, like, things, like, nice things happen. But then in the back of your head, you're like, this is so weird. Everything feels a little 1201. Like, we still, you know, so it's nice to be in, like, this comforting show.
Where you know the ending where good conquers evil. Like, that's why I think I love the show. I know it's going to be good in that. Like, spoiler alert, but, like, I feel like we know at this point, like, good will conquer evil. Like, we know what's going to happen. It's going to be good. We don't know what's going to happen to us in the next couple of years. We don't know. And it's nice to watch a show where we know the Wikipedia. We know what's going to happen. And we know we're going to be happy at the end. So,
I know. So please join us next week. And thank you all for, like, following. I love getting, like, texts or, like, messages from people who've been, like, listening and coming with this journey with us. And I hope it's been comforting to, like, listeners too. So
to watch the show, feel like you're talking to friends about the show. We really appreciate your support. So
thanks everyone, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.